Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, listeners. This is the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. I'm Rosita De Jesus, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Sifu. I'm really excited about tonight's show with Sensei O'Connell. She's a well-rounded martial artist from Canada, and I'm really excited about having her on.
Yes, I'm excited, too. We're just awaiting her Skype call. Because it's free. No long distance there.
Absolutely. This week, I was in my daughter's room. You know, she had some kind of test done on Friday for breathing. She looks at me and she said, "Dad, when did you start going gray and when did you start losing your hair?" You know, that's one of those questions that sort of just jacks you up every now and then. I look her right in the eye and said, "You know what? I can remember the day." I said, "It was the exact day you were born." Every time they find a new gray hair, I go, "It's your fault."
Oh, gosh. Well, what's my excuse? I don't have kids. I'm like all gray now.
I know. Premature gray for an Asian, that's for sure.
What's weird though is that my mom started to go gray when she was about 40. She had like the Bride of Frankenstein streak that went down the middle of her head. I kid you not, it was just one streak, and the rest of her hair was jet black, right? But me, I think I take after my father. He had salt and pepper hair, and I think I'm getting that too.
Well, and it depends on how the light shows in your pictures that you take, because sometimes I can't.
Yeah. Are you still there, Bob? I can barely.
I am still here. Okay. I am still here.
Must be that phone canceling headset of yours, or something.
I wish it was, because you know every time a fire engine goes by, you complain at me. So.
Yeah. Where's the fire?
There's not.
All right. All right. For our listeners, our guest call-in number here is 347-677-0699. Our guest that we're awaiting a Skype call is going to be Sensei Lori O'Connell, and she'll be talking to us about her style of jiu-jitsu, her other training, and hopefully we get to talk about her new upcoming book. I see we've got some people on our chat board. We've got a couple people on the chat board. Hi, chat people. We got guest number 6599, guest number 8186. If you're calling from Canada, actually, if you're one of Sensei Lori's students or Sensei Lori's friends, if you look at the show page, in fact, I can't look at the show page right now.
So, nice.
Otherwise, I'm going to get out of the studio. But if you look at the show page near the phone number, there should be a Skype button. And just click on it if you have Skype, and it'll treat your call as a Skype-to-Skype call, and it'll be free. Otherwise, I think if you just dial our number, 347-677-0699, it will think that it's calling a regular phone, and it'll ask you for Skype credits. And I don't want any of my Canadian friends to have to pay for Skype.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not, especially our guests. We don't want any of our guests to be paying just to be interviewed. So just go ahead and hit that. In fact, I'm going to see if I can get over there and, you know what? I think it'd be easier if I just went to our page and clicked the link. Duh. Let me double check the Skype. Yep, there it is. It's right there. It's right next to the number. It says call in to speak with the host. Oops. Whoops, sorry. Then it plays it too. So, it's right there next to the number, a little S button. Just click on that, and hopefully that'll work. Okay. So
very cool. Well, people, I do want to do a shout out real quick.
Okay.
I don't know if he's listening. I did send him the link to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a shout out to Michael Rivera, because I inducted him into the Masters Hall of Fame last year. He is receiving his 8th degree from Grandmaster Richard Nunez, which is one of Ed Parker's original black belts from the 60s. He's going to receive his 8th degree in Lima Lama in late June, a week after the Masters this year. So, Mike, if you're listening, congratulations. And thank you for the gift. I got this really cool umbrella with the samurai sword handle that is, I posted to Utah on Facebook. It's a really cool gift. This guy gives the most insane gifts. He gave me a stick and you unscrew it. It's got two swords on it.
Did you post that that picture on the Dynamic Dojo thing, or was that on your profile?
No, that was on my profile.
Listeners, you have to see this. This is really cool. It's an umbrella. It's an umbrella that has a samurai sword handle. So it's got a Japanese Nihonto tsuka handle on there. It's really cool.
It is very cool. And I do want to say I wish Richard Nunez the best. He's going in for double knee replacement surgery tomorrow. And him and Michael have accepted my invitation to be our guest and speak about Lima Lama next month in March.
That would be cool.
That's going to be very cool.
That would be cool. It appears that I'm checking my private messages. It appears that Sensei Lori is having technical issues. She's trying to like Skype in, but it's still saying that she can't call without having Skype credits. And that really sucks because Skype credits cost money. But she just said that she's going to try to call in now. I think she's using her landline or cell phone. Let's see here. She goes, I'm going to call. So Robert, if you want to do a few more shout outs, I'm going to go ahead and type because I can't type and talk at the same time.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you can walk and see bubble gum at the same time. People.
That I can do, but I end up saying what I'm typing. So.
Well, let me do my shout outs then while you're doing that.
Okay.
I got a message today from Tom, how do you pronounce that? Georgian. Master
yep.
Tom Georgian, on the 15th annual San Diego Grand International Martial Arts Competition, 760-480-8312, or you can go to sdgrandinternationals.com, and it's April 27th, and the divisions are going to be open forms, traditional forms, open weapons, point sparring, stick fighting, blade fighting, kempo forms, bout sparring, kung fu, wushu, and grappling. It's
wow.
One of the larger tournaments around. I mean, the opening is almost comparable to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Is how big this thing is. I hear nothing but good things about it. So if you're in the Southern California area, check it out. Now,
yeah.
I've got I've announced a couple of Sensei Elaine Yamada tournaments. She does a lot for the community. We're trying to bring in the community as a martial arts family. And she is sponsoring a tournament in Laughlin, Nevada. So if you're in the Nevada area, Vegas, Laughlin area, it's going to be at the Tropicana Laughlin Hotel at 2121 South Casino Drive, Laughlin, Nevada, 89029. You can pre-register for a special discount entry fee. There's going to be grands for adults, black belts, kumite, kata, and junior grand kata.
Oh, wow.
And this is going to be, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm looking for a date here. It's going to be on June 13th. And you can contact Elaine Yamano at 909-591-3136 or 951-264-8493. Or you can visit their website at suns, of the Pacific. That's SONSOFTHEPACIFIC.com.
Wow.
Sounds like a couple great tournaments. So if you're in the area, check them out.
Yeah, sounds great. Awesome, awesome. All right. While we're trying to figure out Sensei Lori's Skype thing. Now, if anyone out there is listening, if anyone out there knows about Skype, I was under the impression that if you clicked the Skype button from our show page, instead of typing in our number, but if you click the Skype button there, that it would be considered a Skype-to-Skype call. At least that was my impression. But it doesn't seem to be working. I guess Skype is still asking Sensei Lori to pay for Skype credits, and I definitely don't want that. I don't want her to have to pay.
Well, you know, people, we did have that gentleman a few weeks ago, Eric Thompson, that was in a place where he didn't get cell reception, and he used the Skype button, and it worked just fine.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, we've got another number. Let me write this down. Apparently there's something called Fongo? Is it Fongo? F-O-N-G-O? What's Fongo? All right, I've got a new number. I'm going to call this one. sorry about the technical difficulties, listeners, but, you know, it's radio.
Oh, the fun of live shows.
I know, and it's live, and, you know, I mean... You know, what can you do, right? All right, let's dial this new number and see what we get to do. Did I get that right? All right, let's try it. And we're dialed.
And it's ringing.
I know. Let's see if it actually connects. I have no idea what Fungo
is. Hello?
Hi, Sensei Lori?
Yes, this is me.
Oh, we figured it out. Oh, jeez. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I was under the impression that we didn't need Skype credits for that. But, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Because I was like, I started freaking out for a second because I don't want my guests to have to pay for credits to be interviewed. So I was.
And we don't want our listeners to listen to us for 2 hours.
That's right. We don't want that. All right. Well, now that we've got Sensei on the line, I'd like to do a short introduction and introduce you to our listeners, Sensei. And then you get to be sort of like a co-host with me and Sipu Bob while we go through our short health news and weird news. And then we'll get into the interview. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So, listeners, Sensei Lori O'Connell holds a fifth Dan black belt in Kanryu Jiu-Jitsu, and she's trained in martial arts for over 20 years. She's trained under Ed Hisko Sheehan, who is the head of Kanryu Jiu-Jitsu in Ottawa, and with Steve Hisko Sheehan in Chilliwack. She's completed her instructor training with Professor George Sylvain, the founder of Kanryu, and she holds her full instructor's license. She's currently the chief instructor of Pacific Wave Jiu-Jitsu, located in Richmond, B.C., Canada. And it is my and Sifu Robert's honor to introduce everyone to Sensei Lori O'Connell. Welcome, Sensei.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Yay, I'm glad we could get the, yay, okay, and cut. I'm glad we could get the connection going. Now, Fongo, is that a internet phone or is that a different phone service?
It's an internet phone service.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. Fongo. Oh, wait, it's probably Fongo. All right, so because
Can I say something else real quick, Sifu?
Yeah, sure.
I want to tell all our listeners, please be careful today. ABC 7 in Los Angeles just released something that says the LAPD is out in force this Super Bowl weekend cracking down on drunk driving. According to the Auto Club study, there are 75% more alcohol-related crashes on Super Bowl Sunday compared to any other Sunday. The LAPD says anyone arrested for a DUI could lose their license and spend up to a year in jail and up to $10,000 in fine. So drink responsibly and be healthy out there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun Super Bowl Sunday, not, you know, spend the night in jail. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for that bit of information. So if you're in California or L.A., right, that was for L.A.?
That was for L.A., yeah. But that, I'm sure that's for every place.
Yeah.
All over
yeah.
the country.
Yeah, all over the country. So if you're out there, folks, Super Bowl, if it's not done already, it will be getting done. Be careful out there. So, yeah, don't get in any crashes. So now that since we've introduced you to the at the beginning of the show, Sensei Laura, you get to be a little co-host with us. So during our health news and Bob's news and shout-outs and stuff, you can put in any comments that you want and chime in anytime you want and say anything you want, within reason, of course. We can't swear on the show.
Sounds fine.
All right. I just want to put out a Facebook shout-out. Guru Ron Kazakowski has an event coming up. this is put on by the Practical Self-Defense Training Center. And this particular event is a Filipino Indigenous Fighting Arts Retreat. And it's going to be conducted by Master Ron Kazakowski of Kuntao Dumpag and Tuhon Romel Tortal of Pikiti Tirsha Kali. And this is going to be 3 days, July 19th, 20th, and 21st of this year. And it's going to be located at 849 Warwick Turnpike. It's funny, it says TPKE. I'm like, what is that? Tupka. it's Turnpike, I guess. But it's all in capital. So anyway, 849 Warwick Turnpike, Hewitt, New Jersey, 07421. And this is going to be a historical event. It's going to be 8 hours of intense Kuntao and Pikiti Tirsha training every day. And, of course, there'll be breaks for lunch and water and rest in between. But for the first half of the training, it will be ran by Guru Ron in Kuntao Dumpag. You'll be working on the ground fighting aspects of Kuntao. And also the proper use of your hand movements and footwork while monitoring your opponent and knife, using Kuntao concepts with knife, using knife scenarios such as hostage situations or getting robbed or threatened, that kind of thing. And then the second half of the training will be by Tuhon Romel Tortal. He'll be going over Pikiti Tirsha, double sticks, double blade, single sticks, single blade. He's also going to go over the Lugod, which is what we also know as Karambit. And he's also going to be going over Malayu Sibat, or spear, Panggamut, and Dumog. Dumog being the wrestling and Panggamut being the empty hand technique. So in order to register for that, it is, I'm looking. I'm being stupid and can't. Oh, here we go. You want to email info@psdtc.com. info@psdtc.com. And I've also placed the link to this particular event on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. So Filipino Indigenous Fighting Arts Retreat put on by Guru Ron Kazakowski, Kuntao Dumpag, and Pikiti Tirsha. It'll be really fun. And
oh,
I think...
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's see if I've got anything else here. Let's see. And Sifu Bob, you already had your announcements, right?
I did, but I did forget to mention that I on our Facebook page, I did upload the entire San Diego International flyer onto our page. So if you want to check it out, you can download the entire flyer from Dynamic Dojo. Facebook page.
Right. Thank you for doing that because a lot of times when you actually email the promoters, it takes a little while for them to get back to you. So, yeah, for anyone that wants to compete at the San Diego Internationals, just go to our page. You can upload the document. Well, you have to find the post first that says, you know, San Diego Internationals. You can upload the whole document, print it out, fill it out, send it in yourself. It's great. That came in handy. So thank you, Bob. I've only got one more shout out, and this is to our shout out to our regular guest who posts a lot on our page. This is going out to Elastic Steel And Elastic Steel has a great video out that deals with the martial arts stretches for the abductors and for the kicking techniques of karate and taekwondo. So great. He's got a great set of videos for stretching certain muscles for certain activities. So he says, at least for this post, we all know how to stretch the glute max and then deep rotators, but the glute med and the glute min is a lot more elusive when it comes to stretching them. For this reason, they are rarely elongated and usually just sit there, shortened. And this particular video explains how to properly get into those deep abductors. So wonderful video. Go check it out. So that's it for those Facebook shout-outs. So why don't we go ahead and get right into the health news?
Cool.
Sound okay? All right. You doing okay there, Sensei Lori?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. All right. Well, for our health news, we've got an article that came from shape.com. And this particular story, and this is kind of funny, this particular story is seven foods that nutritionists advise us to stay away from. Now, I'm only going to present four of them, but the full seven are going to be on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. So if you want the full write-up, you're going to have to go there in about 15 minutes. So these are seven foods nutritionists advise us to stay away from. Number one, rice cakes. Believe it or not, rice cakes. They may have been touted as the ultimate diet food during the low-fat, no-fat craze of the 80s and the 90s. But according to the article, I found out that rice cakes have a glycemic index rating as high as 91. Now, pure glucose has a rating of 100. So the glycemic index is pretty high for rice. Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
It's crazy.
It's surprising.
Yeah. It is, right? Because, you know, I was just telling Bob before the show that when I was doing wushu, I was training like literally 8 hours straight every day. And then I'd, you know, take 2 hours off and then I'd teach and train again at night. And I always had rice cakes in my backpack. I always had like two bags of rice cakes. So that way in between meals, I was able to eat and, you know, have my water and not, you know, go too low blood sugar. But here I am worried about blood sugar, and here we are with a glycemic index of 91. That's crazy. So that makes rice cakes the kind of carbohydrate that sends your blood sugar out the door, just through the roof. And, of course, that's going to be bad for weight loss and your health. So nutritionists say stay clear of the rice cakes. Next thing that nutritionists would advise us to stay away from are the fat-free salad dressings that you buy at the store. Now, I like a good vinegar and oil dressing, you know, because I think they're pretty healthy. It's a, you know, it's a good mix of vinegar, which I found out helps control your blood sugar. That I didn't know. And plant oils. Plant oils are full of the essential fatty acids and depending on the oil, sometimes antioxidants. However, I learned from this article that certain food companies have, you know, gone so far as to, I guess, take advantage of our fear of the wrong fats, to take advantage of our fear of fat in general. And some of these food companies have messed around with the simple blend of oil and vinegar. And the result are these fat-free, quote-unquote, salad dressings that you find on a lot of store shelves. And a lot of these fat-free dressings have sugar and high fructose corn syrup in them, as well as, yeah, isn't that wild? As well as emulsifying agents and other food science secrets to make the unnatural seem natural. So,
well, olive oil and balsamic vinegar on its own is like homemade, is actually quite a nice dressing. I don't know why you need to buy bottled no-fat dressing.
I don't know. I'd always wondered the same thing, because at home, you know, when I do have salad, that's all I put on mine is like olive oil, balsamic vinegar, you know, pepper, maybe a few shards of cheese or something like that. And it's great, you know, and I see this, pardon my French, but I see this crap on the store shelves and it says fat-free, you know, but it's always in big letters on the labels, as if it's trying to convince us that it's fat free. So it's pretty wild. So I've again, we have the link for this whole article on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, and it will have a link, a sublink in there for a bunch of healthy salad dressing recipes. So, you know, go check it out. I'm sure a lot of them have grapefruit, orange zest, and stuff like that in there. It'll be cool. All right. So another food that we want to stay away from is seitan, also known as gluten, I guess. It says, originally from Asia, it's a common meat substitute for vegetarian dishes. Unlike many meat substitutes, seitan is not soy-derived, but made entirely of wheat gluten. Wheat gluten is a highly allergenic protein that is naturally found in only small amounts in most wheat-based products. But while there's no research linking seitan intake to increased prevalence of gluten allergies or intolerances, it says here that researchers are wary of the possibility that eating a lot of seitan may trigger the development of a more severe gluten allergy or intolerance, which is, you know, which kind of sucks because I actually like fried gluten. but then again, if there was any weird, you know, goings on with my body afterwards, I just probably never noticed or anything. But apparently we want to stay away from that or at least limit it very much. All right. And the last one I want to go over, because I don't want to go over all of them, is grits. Hominy grit. And this sucks because I love grits. I absolutely love grits. But anyway, nutritionists say to stay away from this because it's a hyper-refined carbohydrate. And for those of you that, you know, have heard of grits but never had them before, and I have met people that have no idea what it is, they're just the small leftover pieces from corn processing. That's it. But as far as nutrition, it has nothing. It lacks any, you know, significant amounts of vitamins or minerals. They have just a little bit of an amount of fiber and no essential fats at all. So because of that, the flavor is really lacking, and that's why a lot of people tend to put butter or heavy cream to make them more palatable, to make them more tasty. But when you do that, you're just putting all sorts of blood vessel destroying stuff on top of your grits. So they say, you know, stay away from it. And if you do eat it, maybe you shouldn't put any of that pure butter and cream and heart attack causing stuff on top. So anyway, for the full article, go to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook group page, and we'll have the link up there in just a little bit. So, yay, that's it for that health news. So with that said, let's move on to Bob's
weird news.
I've got a weird one this time.
All right, let's hear your
Would
weird
Would you
news.
Believe in Tokyo, Japan, Bill Murray, the comedian, was responsible for apprehending a bank robber?
What? Okay, wait.
You know what? Okay.
I want to hear this. Okay.
This so Bill Murray was promoting, I guess, his new movie in Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
And this guy came running up to him, had a bag in his hand, said, "Aren't you Bob so-and-so?" I can't remember the character's name because he called him the character from the movie. And He said, "Yeah, okay, sure, whatever." And next thing he knows, Tokyo police are all over this guy. This guy had just robbed the Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi. And because he stopped to talk to Bill Murray, they were able to catch up to him and take him into custody. And the bank, now Bill Murray, you know, he's been in town. I've seen him a couple places. But he was very humbled by the experience. Said, "Listen, I'm no hero. The people who are the real heroes are the Tokyo Police Department that apprehended this bad guy." Well, the Bank of Tokyo, the next day, actually gave Bill Murray an award.
Really?
It's like, for what? This guy didn't do anything. It's not like he held the guy for the police. He was just in the right place at the right time, and this guy was starstruck.
That is
and
so cool.
Even he said, "I'm no hero." But I guess Bill Murray over in Tokyo is like Jerry Lewis over in France.
Well,
they love the guy.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, I don't know how Jerry Lewis is. And
you don't know that reference? That the French love Jerry Lewis.
No, had no idea.
That is their icon over there.
Really? Wow, I had no idea. I thought the
That's been a thing for years. I don't know if it's still like that, but in the 70s, 80s, he was like their guy.
Wow.
Over there.
That
okay, now, these weird laws this week are all from Idaho.
I'm sorry, I've got friends that live in Idaho, and they would think it's weird, too.
And wasn't Sifu Carey Wong from Idaho?
Yes.
She was.
She was.
Now, this is a weird. Sometimes when I'm looking up these weird laws, they'll have the same law worded different ways. I only use one of them. Like, I'll explain in a second. In Idaho, boxes of candy that are given as romantic gifts must weigh in excess of 50 pounds.
What?
Yeah. I know all the women are going, Matt, let's move to Idaho.
And the nutritionists say to stay away from boxes of candy weighing over 50 pounds.
No, and the next law says a boyfriend may not give a box of candy under 50 pounds to his girlfriend. That kind of thing.
That's crazy.
Isn't that weird? That is nuts. That is absolutely nuts. They must have a candy police in Idaho.
That's...
Like, how do they police that anyway?
I don't know. It's kind of like...
About some brown coats running around? Like, yeah. Like, you see the candy police?
I know, yeah. Right.
It's like on the tag on your couch where it says unlawful to remove.
Yeah.
You can imagine the FBI banging down somebody's door. You remove the pat. Yeah, right. That'll happen.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. In Idaho, it is illegal to hunt an animal from the back. So, you know how Jesse James was known for shooting his victims dead in the back? You can't sneak up on an animal and shoot them. They have to see you. That's what I want to do to a bear. Have him see me before I shoot him. In Idaho, you can't fish. Seth, this is funny. This is only in Idaho. In Idaho, you can't fish from the back of an elephant.
In Idaho?
How is that? In Idaho.
In Idaho? Are you sure that wasn't India?
I'm sure there's a story behind that one.
I know, right?
Gotta be. Well, since we always discuss this, there had to be a problem for them to come up with these laws. Like the next one, you can't fish with a beaver.
What, like as
beaver? I don't know anybody that has a beaver or a pet.
So, you know, I think it's, I don't know, but I'm just guessing that maybe, you know, if you've got a pet beaver or, you know, a beaver family and you set them out, like, you know, in whatever river and they build a dam, you're essentially trapping the fish. I'm just guessing now.
That could be, because the beaver's going to go after the fish for you.
Because beavers are so
dangerous.
I guess the beavers just, like, you know, trap the fish with the dams that they make, and it's the people that go out there and get the fish. So
right.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like using pelicans for fishing.
Exactly. riding a merry-go-round on a Sunday is considered a crime.
Well, that sucks.
Now, this last one was weirdly worded. It says, No house dirt in the street, which means to me, you cannot sweep out your house onto public property.
What?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
None of these laws make any sense. That's why they're weird laws.
Oh, my God.
And that is my weird laws and my weird news.
And that was the weird news.
Weird news.
All right. Okay. Now, before we go ahead and take a quick PSA break so that way we can get to Sensei Lori's interview. Woohoo! I just want to do our weekly trivia question. And for our listeners out there that aren't familiar with it, what we do is every week we have a trivia question. And if you're the first caller with the first correct answer, you get to win a chance to be a guest co-host with me and Sifu Robert. So our number here is 347-677-0699, and here is our trivia question of the week. Name the person whose face appeared on the cover of Time magazine more than any other person, about 64 times, during his lifetime. I'll say that again. Name the person whose face appeared on the cover of Time magazine more than any other person in their lifetime, which in this case was about 64 times. So, if you've got the first correct answer, call us at 347-677-0699. All right.
And did you know, Sifu, that Bruce Lee's been on more magazine covers, martial arts magazine covers, dead than any other person has been while they've been alive?
That I didn't know.
That is true.
That's a great tidbit right there. That's awesome. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and take a really, really quick PSA break? We'll be back in about a minute and a half, and then we'll be right back with our interview with Sensei Lori O'Connell. All right. We'll be right back after this.
Okay. Now, here's another health tip from ARC. Screening tests are a great way to catch health problems early when they're easier to treat or control. Talk with your doctor about screening tests for diabetes, breast cancer, high blood pressure, and other conditions to see which ones apply to you and how often you should be tested. Learn more online at healthcare411.org. A message from ARC, the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality.
Hello, I'm Restita De Jesus, and I'm the founder of the Seika Network on blogtalkradio.com. And I listen to Century Health Talk with Lynn Yoncha and Aaron Kester. Tune in every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. and listen to some great discussions about body work, motivation, and fitness. You'll learn a lot. Be sure to tune in.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. This is the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. Sure.
Well, I've got to put one more shout out before we start the interview. You know,
right.
You and I have to attend an event in about 4 months, the Masters mm-hmm. Hall of Fame.
Yes.
It's coming up quick. The nominations are due this month. So if any of our listeners have anybody they'd like to see nominated and inducted into the Hall of Fame, please contact either Sifu Rosita or myself. We're both on Facebook, and we're both ambassadors. It's our duty to nominate well-deserving martial artists to be inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes. And like Sifu Bob says, if you could get that information or those suggestions into us as soon as possible, Sifu Robert and I have to get all that paperwork in before February is over.
Yes, we do.
Yes, and we also have to do a lot of research on the nominees and stuff like that also. So the sooner anyone's got any suggestions for people that they'd like to bring into the Masters Hall of Fame, please let us know. You can just get a hold of us on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. All right. Well, we are very fortunate to have Sensei Lori O'Connell with us. And if any of you listeners would like to call in and speak with Sensei Lori or us, our call-in number is 347-677-0699. All right. Thank you again, Sensei Lori, for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, what we normally do for all of our guests is we start from the beginning. We ask our guests about how they got started in the martial arts, whether or not they got started as a kid or later in life. So our first question to you would be, how did you get started in the martial arts?
Well, I started training martial arts when I was 16, so it was about 20 years ago. And at the time, I was just I guess I was pretty impressed with the female heroines that were starting to show up in movies at the time.
Oh, uh-huh.
And a lot of them were able to fight and use martial arts, and you know, I thought they were pretty, you know, they were so strong and confident, and kind of wanted to be a little like them. So I looked into picking up a martial art, and I decided on Kenryu Jiu-Jitsu because it seemed like a practical choice for self-defense purposes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Now, how did you discover Kenryu Jiu-Jitsu?
Well, actually, a friend of mine had trained there, an older guy I knew in high school that he had recommended it, and he kind of described a little of what it was like and showed me a few moves, and it seemed pretty cool to me, so I gave it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, was that I'm trying to find your teacher's name. I'm like, where are my notes? I lost my
Ed
notes.
Ed Gohanji?
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I should have updated that. Yeah, he got a new title. He's now Hanshi, not Shihan.
Oh, okay. Hanshi. Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
So when you initially started your training, was it with Hanshi?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. Awesome. And that was... Now, what was the training like? Now, for... I guess for our listeners that don't know what Kenryu is, because you know a lot of people, at least here in the States, you know we're very hip on the BJJ, which you've also trained into. But for our listeners out there that are not versed or don't know what Kenryu is, how would you explain that to our listeners?
Kenryu is a self-defense oriented Japanese jujitsu. What I kind of describe as being modern traditional. It's not traditional in the sense that these are the same moves that were being taught to the samurai like, you know, hundreds of years ago. It's more traditional in the sense that it's for self-defense purposes, not for competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a heavy influence from law enforcement as well.
Oh, cool. So do any of you teach law enforcement these types of techniques?
No, I mean, well, not me and not in my school, but... the second in charge in our style, the son of Ed Hisko Hanji, he is a veteran RCMP officer who's been with the National Police of Canada for over 20 years now. And he actually teaches the trainers at the RCMP training camp.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So with the techniques being more for... what's the word I'm looking for? For practical, that's the word I'm looking for, for practical street self-defense. Do you find that when people come to your dojo, do people normally come in there with the expectation of seeing something like Brazilian jiu-jitsu? Do people come in with a certain expectation?
Well, I do my best on my website to clarify the difference between Kenryu Jiu-Jitsu and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but not everybody knows really off the top of their head, and sometimes people don't come in through the website, so most people, when you say Jiu-Jitsu, as you say, they think of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so oftentimes I find myself having to make the clarification that we're not on the ground all the time, we don't do competition, we do combine a lot of strategies, mostly we're on our feet, but we do teach practical ground defense as well with the purpose of getting back to our feet, which is kind of obviously the topic of my new book that's coming out.
Oh, yeah, we want to talk about that later.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
But yeah, so for the most part, though, we're about, you know, we use a lot of... we have four tenets in the Kenryu system. So the first one is simplicity. So being able to learn something, you know, quickly and easily, get the foundations of it within 3 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
The second tenet is commonality of technique. So using similar types of the same types of moves when you're in similar types of attacks, so that we're reducing the potential for brain stalling, because if you have techniques that are really different in similar circumstances, it's easy to get them mixed up and confused.
Yeah.
And then we got gross motor skills, so put emphasis on more on gross motor skills especially at the earlier stages of development, because it's much earlier easier to develop skill in something that's a movement that's more natural than fine motor skills, which yes, we do teach them, but it does take a lot longer to learn and apply, so it's not the core of what we teach, but it's for higher development in our learning. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, it's awareness of additional threats, particularly multiple attackers. So being aware of your surroundings, making sure that somebody else isn't coming up behind you while you're dealing with one guy, or maybe keeping an eye out for environmental hazards, weapons, anything else that can change the circumstances of the fight.
Mm. Awesome. Those are great tenets. Now, it's...
Oh, we try.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just said that. Yeah, that's very cool, the tenets being, you know, simple to understand, and that the art is built around those. That's very cool. Now, if I remember correctly, you taught in Japan. Am I correct?
That's right.
Awesome. Now, how did you end up in Japan? That's many a martial artist's dream, to teach abroad. Now, did you go specifically to teach martial arts, or were you teaching like English or writing?
I was
or...
teaching English myself
on
the JET program.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I stayed 3 years in Iwaki, Fukushima Prefecture, which is actually in the area where that was hit with the tsunami.
Oh, uh-huh.
And where Fukushima Daiichi, the nuclear power plant, is. That's
mm-hmm.
in Iwaki.
Oh, man. Awesome. So you started a dojo there, right?
Well, I taught at a community center there.
Oh, okay.
So I had my own community, that class that I was teaching.
Oh, that is so cool. That is awesome. Now, you know, I've only been to Japan to study. I was a foreigner in a way, studying over there. Now, how is it, how do most of the Japanese take to foreigners teaching martial art in Japan? I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't anything like, you know, Steven Seagal or anything like that. People knocking down your door.
Well, it was an interesting experience. I actually wasn't going planning to teach at all while I was out there. I originally just wanted to do my own training, and I wanted to train in Aikido while I was there, or Japanese Jiu-Jitsu if I could find it, but they didn't really have it in my area. But I did train in Aikido for a little while, and they knew what my skills, they knew about my prior training, and I don't know, it was a bit of a weird environment that it didn't really work out for me. They were a little bit foreigner, like uncomfortable with me as a foreigner and perhaps as a woman training.
Oh.
They do have women training there, but like I guess the combination of being foreigner and a woman might not have been the greatest for them, and nobody really wanted to partner with me. It was very awkward. So half the time I'd be standing there trying to like make partners, and everybody would go like running from me to be with other people. And then they'd drag some 7-year-old child to come work with me who was yelling, "Gaijin, Gaijin!"
Oh no
foreign,
way!
Foreigner. And screaming, not wanting to work with me. And I felt so bad for the kids that they forced on me.
Oh, that poor kid. But that is so wild, because I guess, you know, when I was in, well, I spent most of my time in Tokyo doing kudo there, and you know the dojos there were really open. You know, you just walk in and they of course they'd recognize, oh, you know, you must be from America or Germany or France or whatever, you know, and you know, very welcoming, and you know, the masters would come out and help you, regardless of whether or not you, you know, felt you needed help or not, which was cool, you know. But I'd always wondered.
I wouldn't
about
say
that
this is typical necessarily. Like, I don't want to make this out like this is a normal
right.
thing in Japan. Like, I was in
right.
a small town in Japan.
Yeah.
They don't have that much experience or dealing with foreigners. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not like it was an international dojo where they're used to having, you know, international guests all the time. So
oh, right.
It was like a community club in some small town, small city, small coastal city in Japan. So
yeah.
it
okay.
might have been, you know, just a bit more strange for them.
Right. Wow.
And, I mean, like... After I trained there for about 8 months, I actually stuck it out that long. And but then I just got fed up with it. And I had a lot of foreigner friends who lived in the city with me and were interested in learning jiu-jitsu from me. So I eventually just said I had enough of this Aikido club, and I started doing my own class at the community center,
mm-hmm.
which was actually right before their class started. Like, and they taught like whatever it was, 7 to 8:30, and so I went in the time slot right beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and started teaching, mostly foreigners at first, but then a few intrepid Japanese people. There was two guys in particular that, you know, saw what I was doing and were very interested, both with prior martial arts experience. And they both came and trained with me. One of them was a third-degree black belt in judo already, and really wanted to incorporate the striking into his throwing techniques. Which
cool.
You know, we do that as well. We do that a lot in our style. So.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in very little English, very shy as well, which I couldn't believe he ended up training with us because he is painfully shy.
Oh.
And at first he just stood at the sidelines trying to watch and learn without actually being in the class. I guess he was just too shy to come and ask if he could join us.
Yeah.
And eventually I just saw him what he was doing, and he even brought a friend in so that he could try out the techniques with his friend on the side. So eventually I was just like, you know, you can come join us. It's okay. And so he did train with us for probably about 6 months to a year before. That was around close to when I was done my time there. So.
Wow.
But yeah, it was great. And the funny thing was the Aikido instructors of that class that, you know, weren't exactly the most welcoming. They started watching me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was on before their class, and then they started reaching out to me after a while, and then offering to lend me Aikido books, and you know, I it was very strange though, because you know, they couldn't have had a little less to do with me in the start, and then
right.
All of a sudden after, you know, they were watching me doing my thing, then all of a sudden they were being a little more friendly, which I thought was very strange, but
that's very
didn't know
cool.
really what to make of it all.
Well, 3 years is a while. I would imagine that's a long time. I guess they got used to it. Now you're part of the community. That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
So.
Yeah, I mean, being immersed in the culture like that really must have been a great experience. Yeah, I mean, did you get really good at speaking Japanese?
Oh yeah, no. After 3 years, I was pretty good by the end. Kind of faded a bit though. That was back from 2000 to 2003.
Oh, yeah, man. I can only ask for, you know, where's the bathroom and can I have a beer? I think that's about it.
That would be useful. One leads to the other.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Can I have a beer? And where's the bathroom?
That's it.
That's awesome. So, Sifu Bob, do you have any questions? Sorry, no, I'm leaving you out. I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay. That's okay. I was just letting you guys just ramble. That's very interesting stuff because Sifu Lori, you know, it's weird how Japan is so ahead in some aspects, but the way they treat foreigners and the way they treat women are hundreds of years old.
Well, depending on depending on where you go.
Yeah, I'm not in Tokyo. You know, you were treated okay, but in the outlying areas, you might be treated completely different. But how do you feel? Because I was reading your styles, what you studied. How do you feel Hapkido, Taekwondo, Western boxing, and fencing supplemented your training?
Oh, that's right. You did those also, right? The Hapkido and the Taekwondo and stuff. Oh, I think we lost her. We lost her. Uh-oh. I don't know how long we lost her because I was on a different page. So let me...
See what happens. You get me involved and she says, I'm out of here.
Let me try calling her again. let's see here.
You know, this is the first show. This is like the 14th show. This is the first time we've had technical difficulties.
Well, we've had a few, but, you know, where I drop out... And you guys keep talking?
That was the other show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have reached the mailbox of...
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not going to work.
She's on the phone going, what happened?
Hold on. She just messaged me. I think you may have me muted. Nope, you dropped. You dropped. You're not on my board anymore. So, let's see.
Try calling her again. She's probably off now.
Yeah. So, Sensei Lori, I'm going to try calling you again. sometimes depending on our internet, whether it's like your feed or my feed, sometimes the internet phones will drop. So I don't know if it was us, but let me go ahead and call you again.
Let's just blame her and get it over with.
Oh. It might go again. Let's see here.
Oh, going to voicemail again.
I think. I don't know. Hello?
You have reached the mailbox of...
No!
Oh, I thought that was...
Please leave a message.
Oh, let me try this again. Okay. Sorry, listeners. Let me try this again. She said, call now. After I started calling. So, okay. So, Sensei Laura, if you're still listening, I'm just going to give the board like 15 seconds to clear out for a second. And...
Well, for all our listeners, when we woke up this morning, we could tie our shoes. Right now, I'm not... When we woke up this morning, we could tie our shoes. Right now, I'm not so sure.
I know. Oh, internet, isn't it great?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try it again. All right, okay. I'm calling again. Here we go. And click. And we're dialing.
And it's ringing.
And it's ringing. She just said that she was waiting, and I'm... What happened? It's ringing. Hello? Hello?
You have reached the mailbox of...
Why?
Please leave a message.
Tried calling. I'm leaving a message. And, oh, she said she's still waiting, and I don't know why it's not going through. Okay. Let's see. Why don't we try this? Let's go ahead and take a short break. Let's play some Earth, Wind, and Fire while I try to get this figured out. So let's go with Earth, Wind, and Fire's Fantasy. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
This is the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. Our phone number here is 347-677-0699. It appeared that we had some voice IP issues going on for the last 5 minutes or so. So I think we might have it figured out. I've got a new number for Sensei Lori. Are you still there, Bob?
Uh-huh. I'm still
okay,
there.
So let's go ahead and try this other number. Let's see here, dialing, and whoops, let's not put her in the screening room, dial.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
You do realize when the song was playing that play.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, God. No, really?
Well, I started talking to my son, and I'm going, oh, man, I hope she muted my mic.
Yeah, well, I muted yours, but, yeah, okay, let's try this again. All right, let's see here. All right, I'm dialing now. So I'm like, trying to, like, talk to her on the, on chat. I got to make sure that this is the right number. Sorry,
the number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Why?
If anything else, all our listeners are either hanging up or they're laughing.
I can't
hearing you talk to yourself, thinking you're absolutely nuts.
There's still two people on chat.
Oh, that's good. But one of them is probably Lori.
I just wrote her. That didn't work. Let me try the 604 number. So, Sensei Lori, I'm going to try the 604 number. Here we go. Let's try that one.
All the listeners, I think people are going to provide them a short buzz from now on.
I need a drink is what I need right about now.
Voicemail, here we come.
You have reached the mailbox of
Lori O'Connell from Pacific Wave Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, why?
Please leave a message.
Stop. Okay, the 604 number.
Needless to say, I think this may be our last show and somebody that's out of the country.
Well, the you know, it should have worked. I don't understand why Skype. In fact, that's exactly what the Blog Talk Radio study hall, quote unquote, said, is that, you know, if you don't want to do Skype credits, you go onto the show marquee and click it, and it would be a Skype to Skype call. And because that's what John Van Mobley did. Not John Van Mobley. That's what we did last week with a couple of guests on Modern Combat Masters. But, oh, let's see. There's a Gmail phone? Sensei Lori? I said the 604 number went to voicemail. And she said, it's because the program died. Can't get it to restart.
Oh, so she's having technical difficulty, too.
Yeah. How about Gmail phone? I don't know about Gmail phone. Let's see. Why don't we try... What do I tell her? Try rebooting your computer again. Didn't work. Crap. So Sensei Lori, try rebooting your system one more time. And once you get rebooted, try to shut down all unnecessary background processes like firewall or something like that. Oh, she says it's her phone, not her computer. Oh, okay. The phone died? How does the phone die?
Battery goes out.
Oh, right. She said it froze. So, okay, listeners, you know, what I need to do is get on my profile here. Listeners, if there's anyone out there that knows anything about voice over internet protocol, whether it's Skype or PhoneGo, F-O-N-G-O, or any other of those programs or whatever, call us at 347-677-0699. We have our guest, Sensei Lori O'Connell, who is calling from Canada. She can't do it from Skype because apparently, even though she hits the Skype button on our show marquee, it's still telling her she needs to pay for Skype credits, and I think that's ridiculous. I don't want our guests having to pay to be interviewed. And she was using PhoneGo, F-O-N-G-O, and that worked for a little bit, and then all of a sudden she dropped out. She dropped out from my board, and she says, okay, try again, and at which number? Okay, we'll use that number. All right. Okay, here we go. Let me try this again. Okay, we're dialing. Well, I got to make sure I have the right number. 4-4-9-7-4-4-4-4-6. Okay, let's dialing.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello? Oh, yay. We worked again.
Yeah.
I thought it was something I said.
Oh, man. I am so sorry for that.
Oh, no. We're sorry. You know, I should have planned for what would happen if Skype didn't work. But I was sure that it would have worked because it worked prior to that. It worked with people with people calling from, like, London. And stuff. So I thought that was really weird. And I'm gonna have to get on Skype about that because, you know, you hit a Skype button and it should have been free Skype to Skype. So I'm gonna hit their troubleshooting thing right after our show. So all right. So we're back, everyone. 347-677-0699. Dynamic Dojo Radio Show, and we're with Sensei Lori O'Connell of Kenryu Jiu-Jitsu. And before Sensei Lori's internet phone decided to have fun, Sifu Bob had a question for Sensei Lori, and I don't think she got all of it. So can you ask your question?
I don't think I got it all.
She didn't get it at all. So if you could ask your question again, Bob, that'd be great.
Oh, very cool. Well, Sensei, I noticed on the information Sifu sent me that you've studied a lot of different styles, and a lot of them haven't been along the same line that you've studied in the past, the jiu-jitsu line, maybe the groundwork, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I noticed that you studied Hapkido, Taekwondo, Western boxing, and fencing. How do you feel they supplemented your training?
Well, they're all very different. First of all, like fencing actually was something I trained in before I took up Kenryu.
Okay.
That was when I was 12, you know, up until I was high school, for my high school years, I did fencing as a sport, and it got me kind of into the combat arts in the first place. So it was more of a, like I said, a sport kind of fighting. But then after that, I decided I wanted to take something non-competitive that was more self-defense oriented. Now, other things that I've taken, like boxing, our style of Kenryu Jiu-Jitsu, we actually use boxing as the base of our striking system. So taking up boxing gave me a chance to explore it in more detail so I can kind of improve my skills with it.
Boxing was a real good fit for you then.
Oh, yeah, it was a really good fit, very good, actually. And because I knew, you know, like we already did practice those strikes and style of movement, so it just gave me a chance to spend more time working on it in more depth.
Very cool.
And then other things I took, like Taekwondo, we do kicking in our style, and I wanted to take something to improve my kicks. Although, to be honest, though, the first thing I was taking it for was for the movie stunt industry, so because I do some work in that area. And I wanted to be able to use my kicks, you know, do higher kicks, fancier kicks for the stunt industry. And the same school I trained at also incorporated Hapkido into their training. And Hapkido is very similar to Japanese Jiu-Jitsu. It's basically like a Korean version of it. And it made me miss Jiu-Jitsu. And because at the time I wasn't teaching it Jiu-Jitsu, and it made me really miss doing it. So I decided to found my own school in the Vancouver area. It was around the time when I first moved to this area, so I hadn't started a school yet. And so it made, like I said, it has a lot in common with it, and it just made me miss doing it, so I decided to do my own thing again.
Oh,
now, Brazilian go ahead.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about the stunt industry, because I understand you're a stunt woman, or stunt person, whatever the PC phrase is right now.
Talent.
I live in L.A., so I'm in literally the entertainment capital of the world. When Sifu was down here in August, I was able to take her by some stars home and that sort of thing. How is the movie industry up there? Do you do any work down here, or do you do all your stunt work in Canada where there's a big call for it?
Honestly, I haven't actually spent, you know, like I have done some movie credits with in stunt work, but I'm not like, I mean, I've only had done 4 credits, so I wouldn't call myself an authority on the industry. All the credits I've done were here in this area.
Very cool.
My
business partner is a stunt person and a stunt coordinator, and she actually did spend a lot of time up in BC because the industry here in Seattle is next to nothing. It's impossible. I'm not going to talk about how we got there, nor the type of the local government that made it so Seattle can't be bringing in movies and stuff like that. I'm not going to go there. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that she does is independent, or she does have to travel down to California, up to B.C., you know, Midwest, East Coast, that kind of thing. But we are really pushing here in Seattle to try to get the movie industry a lot bigger here because, you know, right now the only thing that's going on is that, you know, you have stock footage of Seattle in movies that are supposedly set in Seattle. But nothing actually happens out here. Not anymore.
Didn't you say that Steven Seagal's program that's supposed to be in Seattle is actually mostly filmed in Vancouver?
It's set out here, and I'm not quite sure where it's filmed. I'm assuming it's filmed in Vancouver.
Is that show again?
I forget. That's a good question. Let me take a look. And it only came out a few months ago. What's the name of that new series? Lawman. I think it's called Lawman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's it's set in Seattle. Let me double check here. Dun, dun, dun. Oh wait. No, I'm sorry. It's not Lawman. I think Lawman was a reality TV series. The actual
right, that,
series.
That was in Louisiana. The other one is True Justice.
True Justice, yeah, True Justice. Yeah.
True Justice. Okay.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because my son broke in because his birthday tomorrow is turning 18. He had to show me the celebrities that at his birthday.
Oh.
Like Ashton Kutcher, Alice Cooper, those people.
Oh. Awesome. Yeah, I so apparently it's set out here, but I don't think it's filmed out here as far as like the chases and the stunts and stuff like that. The last movie that I remember using stunts in that I remember was Get Carter with Sylvester Stallone. I was on that movie, and that was the last time I had heard of any, you know, big name stunts. And you know, there was also other independents that went big that were filmed out here that my business partner was in. But other than that, the big budget films don't have anything. We don't have anything down here. So,
because then you can be able
to work out here.
Well,
right?
All they show on True Justice is the one iconic scene of Seattle, which is the Space Needle.
Yeah, that's the best, that's the stock footage.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Sensei, for getting off track a little bit. Both of us, I think, have ADD.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
But
go ahead.
No, I was going to ask about, since we're on the subject of stunts. You know, you mentioned that you wanted to get some of the Taekwondo kicks, so that way it would look good on camera and stuff like that. But what got you interested in stunts?
Well, that was just, I just thought it would be fun to work in stunts. It'd be an interesting way to make money doing martial arts, and that's what made me explore it a little more.
Awesome. Now, did you go through a stunt academy or a stunt school, or did you just put your headshot out there and said, hey, this is what I can do? And
there are some, like, kind of different places you can train. It's not, I wouldn't call it a stunt academy, but there's like a gymnastics gym where, I thought it cut out for a sec, but there's like gymnastics gyms where stunt performers go to train. And there, you know, so, and there's also instructors who are current or former stunt performers who, you know, teach some of the skills that, but they're not academies. It's more like drop-in classes and things like that.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Awesome.
Now, Sensei, are you a certified instructor in the Korean arts as well?
No. The only thing I'm certified in is Kanryu Jiu-Jitsu. I never went for, you know, never graded up for that kind of level of teaching.
Very cool. Well, all those skills, though, I'm sure come in very handy for stunts, especially the fencing, you know, in case, you know, someone says, okay, we need some talent that can use a sword. I can use a sword.
Actually, my most recent stunt credit was for fencing. Like, they actually specifically wanted a sport fencer. So
cool.
I did do some stunt doubling work as a sport fencer.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, very cool. What was it? Just typical sport fencing with a foil?
Yep, exactly that.
Very cool.
Very
awesome.
Nice.
Now, with all of that experience, I mean, Hapkido, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kanryu, Taekwondo, fencing, even Tai Chi, those arts like run the gamut of the different combat ranges: long range, medium range, and close range. Now, which one do you prefer most, and why?
Well, I never have professed to say, like, there's one art that's better than everything. I mean, obviously, I've studied Kenryu much longer than any of the other arts that I've trained in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, if I really look at it, what I like, I mean, I kind of consider martial arts divided up into two camps. You've got generalists and then specialists. When I say, like, a generalist, Kenryu is kind of a generalist style, like, it's like a Swiss Army knife. We cover a wide variety of tools and hand strikes, kick throws, takedowns, all sorts of stuff for the purposes of self-defense. The idea being something, if you have something, you'll have something useful in a wide variety of scenarios. There's other arts that are like that. We're not the only one, certainly. Hapkido, Krav Maga, or if you want a more competition-oriented generalist, think something like MMA is like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas something like specialists, they'll take a really they'll take a particular skill or concept, and then they'll develop it to such a high level that it'll become useful in a wide variety of contexts. So, I mean, like, honestly, there's no, you know, there's no one art that's better than any other art. I never would say that because I've trained in so many. But I, for myself, I'm a generalist at heart because of the Kenryu. From a teaching point of view, I think it's useful to have skills in a lot of different things. And that's why I've taken up training in other things too, so I can develop all very specific skills that are that we use in our style to a higher level, and then I can develop strategies that for a wider variety of students that you know that work for them, because you know not every student has the same body type. You know, same like my the other instructor Chris Olson Sensei at my dojo. He's very tall and lanky,
mm-hmm.
and the way he would defend himself is very different from the way I would defend myself. And but in our style, what we try to do is the core curriculum we teach is designed to be useful for the widest variety of people,
mm-hmm.
variety of body types. But any time that there's any disparity in that, where somebody maybe is too short to do a particular throw or not practical for using a particular punch, or, you know, like it's nice to have a little bit better a base in all those specific skills so that you can adapt what you teach for the different body types.
Very cool.
I know that's a long-winded answer. It's not. I don't know if that even answers your question.
It did actually. It did. That was a great answer because I consider myself to be sort of a generalist with a traditional bent, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. You know.
Totally.
Yeah. It sounds like a wonderful art. That's awesome. I was going to ask something else, and I lost my train of thought. So what else is new, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So with that in mind, we're going to turn it over to Bob. I'm sure he's got a question while I sit here and, like, find my notes.
Yeah, throw me right under the bus.
Love you.
Yeah.
Mean it.
I know. Yeah, I believe that now. Sensei, you cited a few different jiu-jitsu art, including BJJ. What are the nuances? What have you been able to pull out of the other arts that you've been able to plug into Kenryu?
Oh, nice.
Well, to be honest, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu does derive from Japanese Jiu-Jitsu and Judo. So, like, there are some common bases in there. But by studying Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I mean, they are so much more focused on ground that it basically gave me more opportunity to develop my ground strategies. Now, the big difference being that most of the schools out there are teaching it from a competitive point of view, like for competition. So, I mean, I got to, you know, roll with people and, you know, learn what they learned and practice it in that context. But so for me to apply it, apply those skills, I had to adapt them for the way I teach and what I do in my dojo, because we're doing it for self-defense. And we do throw on all the other extras, like, you know, but you've got to have a really good base in body shifting and movement and weight transfer for your skills to be, you know, solid and useful. But, you know, like in a street self-defense oriented context, you're not going to hold back. You're not going to, you know, you're going to have a lot of other factors to consider. One being, you want to get off the ground as quickly as possible, because you can't account for, like, if the guy has other friends who are going to step in and try to kick your head while you're tied up with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, being on the ground is much more dangerous in a self-defense context. And so getting off the ground as quickly as possible might entail, like, sticking your thumb in somebody's eye or hitting somebody in the groin. Now, of course, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, it's like, you can't just rely on those moves to get off the ground. Like, if somebody really knows what they're doing on the ground, they are not going to be enough. And that is absolutely true, which is why it's absolutely vital to work on that ground strategy, how to move and how to create the opportunity so that you can use the strikes or use the strikes to create the movement opportunities. It's they're all very intertwined, and there's no reason why you can't mix them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. But it's funny, Sensei, that that even a woman, if a woman or man does get a strike to the groin, it takes a fight right out of them.
Oh, yeah, if you do get to a solid strike or grab, or like I say grab and squeeze, too.
Yeah, grab, squeeze, and
I grab, squeeze, and rip.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, but if there's the space, for sure.
What was that, Bob?
When I'm doing women's self-defense classes, I kind of make a joke. I do the little gesture, grab, squeeze, twist, pull, and then I throw it to them.
That's right. In my
style, it's a hand gesture. It's just more of a joke than anything else.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, in my style, that's called throwing away the peach.
Yeah. Or monkey steals the peach is how we call
right.
it in the Chinese art.
That's the name of it, monkey steals the peach.
Yeah,
I love it. It's so poetic.
Yeah. It's so poetic for losing your nads. It's awesome, isn't it?
Monkey steals the peach.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to use that. I'm like, they actually call this thing in something other than hitting somebody in the groin.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, the Chinese, like, they always come up with a poetic thing. Like, you know, like in Tai Chi, there's another movement called Snake Creeps Down. And it's basically a fireman carry throw. It's like, oh, that's nice. Snake creeps down, and you land on your head. Yeah.
You know, she's so laughing because I was so eloquently said, losing your nads.
Is that appropriate language on your show? Is that okay?
I think we can say nads. I know I can't drop an F-bomb or anything like that, but last week we had someone drop the SH word, and I was like, oh, well, all right. But, yeah. But apparently we can. I just have to tag the show as adult or explicit if anyone, like, swears on it or whatever. But I had a question about jiu-jitsu in general, you know, with the striking and the blend of being able to strike from all ranges and all levels in your system. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know much about traditional jiu-jitsu, given that, you know, my style of kajikenbo is a mixed art on its own, you know, with, mm-hmm. you know, snippets of jiu-jitsu in there. So I don't know anything about traditional jiu-jitsu, but didn't traditional jiu-jitsu carry the striking aspects also, the ate striking aspects, as well as just the throws? Or
to my understanding, that's true. I mean, I wouldn't even call my style anymore a traditional. I mean, I trained in really traditional Japanese jiu-jitsus, and I mean, it's, you know, like, it's, I can't really say that our style is exactly that, because it's called Kanryu, because Kanryu means Canadian style, and it's been modified to make it more appropriate for modern context self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the stuff that we do is not necessarily, like, there's a lot much heavier emphasis on wrist control techniques in traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu,
right.
because they were trying to keep them from going for their sword.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, people don't carry swords around in modern day life, but I think they're even, like, the more recent kind of permutations of Japanese jiu-jitsu, though, they tend to carry more striking techniques. So I can definitely say that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering as far as, like, the – because, you know, I have met a few people that, like I had mentioned before, that they think that jiu-jitsu is BJJ.
Yeah, that's pretty,
you know what I mean?
Nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, because of the hype and the popularity of it. You know, everyone, you know, thinks that it's – that jiu-jitsu as a whole is Brazilian jiu-jitsu, BJJ. And so, you know, when these people go around and say, yeah, jiu-jitsu is the best, they're – you know, they're talking about BJJ, and they're talking about MMA. They're talking about tap-out type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and let's just say these are the types of guys that all they wear is tap-out, but they've never trained. And, you know, and the reason why I asked about the striking in jiu-jitsu is that I kind of wanted to, you know, have our listeners that have no exposure to jiu-jitsu to kind of understand, you know, where your style is coming from, that, yes, you know, there is, you know, striking based on, you know, the old ways, but that it's actually for today, that it is not sport. Because, you know, I wouldn't want any of our listeners, you know, the what I would call the tap-out crowd, to go into your dojo and expect, you know, sport, you know, you know, tap out MMA, you know, and completely misunderstand, you know, what you're doing. So, you know, just kind of.
No, it's definitely it's worth mentioning. Yeah,
it is worth mentioning. So, cool. So with that said, I just looked up at the clock and went, where'd all our time go?
technical difficulties?
Yeah, technical difficulties. That only took like 10 minutes, so I don't know. But I do want to talk about your book, your new book.
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. Sensei Lori has a new book coming out. Now, this is going to be your second book.
That's right. Well, my first book is a personal book about my, kind of like a narrative nonfiction about my teaching and training experiences in the martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one is being published with Puddle Publishing, and probably are familiar with them. It's an international martial arts publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be available all over the world, all the Amazons, from Amazon.com to .co.uk and all the other, you know, permutations, and Barnes & Noble. Like, it's going to be out there.
Oh, cool.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so this is the first book I've done with an international publisher, as opposed to the other one, which was self-published.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very cool. Very cool. So can you tell us a little bit about the subject matter of the book? Of course, we don't want to give it away because we want people to buy it. But
I can, you know, give you a lowdown on it.
Yeah.
What's called the When the Fight Goes to the Ground, Jiu-Jitsu Strategies and Tactics for Self-Defense. So it's to distinguish it from, you know, like a submission grappling book, which is also ground fighting. It's not for competition. The whole point of it is to teach people to get off the ground as quickly as possible using every means possible. Now, we do a combination of using strikes to vital targets, you know, things like the eyes and head and groin and all the nasty bits, as well as body shifting and movement strategies that you are commonly found in arts that like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using both strategies to complement each other. So with something like the body shifting is important because, you know, if you end up with somebody who actually has some skill on the ground, you can't expect to just hit somebody in the ground or get a successful strike in their eye because they've got really good body control techniques. And so using things like shrimping and bridging and rolling and other types of movements, you can offset their position and create opportunities in which you can attack vital targets. That creates more space and more opportunities where you can, you know, do either deliver more devastating strikes or use body shifting techniques to just get the person completely off you. Whatever it is you do, whatever combination of those things you do, it's always, though, to the purpose of getting back to your feet.
Awesome. Awesome.
And that's good for, it's good for a variety of people. I mean, that could be, you know, a traditional martial artist who wants a really simple self-defense system for the ground to complement what they've learned in their stand-up style.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if a competitor in submission grappling wants to kind of get some ideas for how to apply those skills in a more self-defense-oriented context, mm-hmm. you know, that will help too if people are open to it. Or law enforcement professionals who really don't want to be rolling around on the ground unless they're trying to control a suspect with a partner nearby who can keep an eye out for other people. You know, they often want to just get off the ground as quickly as possible so they can get space between them and the person they're trying to control, or, you know, by using their primary or secondary weapons at their tool belts.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. It looks like a great book. It's on Amazon, listeners, and you can actually pre-order it now. The title isn't supposed to come out until February 12th, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it says. Yeah, February 12th.
Yes, that's right.
And there's there's both the paperback and the Kindle edition. Now, the actual hard copy, that's a DVD and instructional book combination, isn't it? It comes
with
a DVD.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
I've got a copy of it right in front of me. And when you open up the inside cover, there's a DVD in there. And the DVD by itself is not instructional, but it does I mean, it has every pretty much every technique that's in the book. Mm-hmm. Every sequence of techniques is shown in with the full movement of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you look to the book for the details, like the finer details of the technique, and
then
to get the overall sense of the movement, you pull out the DVD and you can look for the techniques in there.
That's very cool.
Awesome.
And the Kindle edition, I wonder if that, I'm trying to look, because I have a Kindle. I carry my Kindle everywhere I go so I can read anytime I get, and I might just actually buy it. But if it doesn't have the DVD, what do I do?
I don't even know about the Kindle. I'm assuming the Kindle edition has the DVD with it.
I
don't know for sure myself.
So. Yeah, I would imagine so, because I've seen some Kindle books where, like, if you click on one of the pictures or whatever that has a little arrow on it, it turns into a little video, that kind of thing. But I think for Kindle, they actually have to format it that way. So I don't know. So, but yeah, this comes out February 12th, and this is called When the Fight Goes to the Ground, Jiu-Jitsu Strategies for Tactics and Tactics for Self-Defense. And the link is going to be on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. So listeners, if you haven't already become a member of the Dynamic Dojo page, please do, because you'll be versed on upcoming episodes and great links like this on how to pre-order your book. It's only $12.12 Amazon price, and for the Kindle edition, it's $9.99. Awesome price for a DVD and book combo. So I suggest that all our listeners go and get it, even if you're already a grappler. I mean, this book is from a woman's point of view, and it's great. I'm looking forward on getting that. It's pretty cool.
Well, I think people who...
I'm the selfish one, people. I think she should send us a couple signed copies.
Well, that can be arranged. I think Rosita's already got one in the mail. It should be arriving soon.
Cool. I can't wait to reach it. Yeah, because I'm going to be doing a review on it, Bob. It'll be a... One of your students, Sensei Lori, had asked to join the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, it just like popped up in the lower corner. So I'm going to go ahead and accept them in. Here we go.
Well, that's
cool. Now, Sensei, you said something about traditional... this is sort of a pretext to another question I'm going to ask. In traditional jiu-jitsu, they were looking to control a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find the techniques from that aspect, because you're right, at that time that there was the long weapon aspect, but now people do carry knives and guns.
Yep, that is true.
Have you found a way to develop the same techniques to use on a shorter weapon that will take a shorter period of time to pull out of their waistband or pocket or wherever it's being held?
Well, the difference between, like, reaching for a sword and a knife is, like, a sword, you can, once you've got control of the wrist, if you've stuffed their draw, that sword's not coming out. Whereas
right.
a knife, if you don't have full control of that arm and they do get a hold of that knife, there's, it's not like they require a lot of space to pull it out. So as far as knife defense goes, it's what we teach is, I said, I'm not a traditional Japanese style of jiu-jitsu, but I know that the tendency was more to control the wrist, keep it from going, like they'll grab your wrist to keep you from going for your own sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you're defending against them grabbing your own wrist, or if you grab their wrist to keep them from going your sword, you stop them from grabbing it, then you can go into more, some of the wrist takedowns and controlling techniques that they use. But if they've already got a hold of the knife and it's out, it's not that hard to pull some of your wrist out of a grip. And if you've got the knife, then, obviously that's what they're going to be trying to do, is pull it out so that they can cut.
Right.
So what we do...
Oh, go ahead.
What we do is once we try to control the weapon arm, so if they're holding a knife, we try to get it, get control of the elbow so that they can't use any actions for swinging it. And then once the elbow is controlled, we basically fire off a bunch of knee strikes to them and then try to get them to the ground as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cecil and I have discussed doing a special show on one of our forum shows. Are you familiar with any non-traditional martial arts? Meaning, how do I word this, Cecil? Help me out. We're going to do a show on traditional versus non-traditional, meaning the technical names, maybe the Japanese names for the technique or the Filipino terminology. What do you feel about the difference between traditional and non-traditional?
Well, I'm not even sure how you're defining non-traditional.
I think he was saying, because like yesterday I was talking to Bob about doing a show about how different martial artists felt about using the traditional terminology and the traditional etiquette, the traditional pecking order are in, you know, very, very many traditional arts. And I said, you know, it'd be interesting to get people's takes on that, you know, to have traditionalists call in and, you know, modern martial artists call in and talk about, you know, is it important nowadays for people to learn about traditions and pecking orders of ancient times that really, you know, aren't, you know, used or prevalent in the modern world anymore. Yeah, so that's kind of what he was.
Because it's kind of interesting because what I, you know, how I was describing my style as modern traditional, like we do have aspects of the traditional, of the traditional mentality in terms of the way, you know, the some of the pecking order, as you say, and paying respect and bowing in to the dojo, you know, bowing to our partners. So we do have some of that, but like we don't use all the traditional names. Like we don't call our techniques by Japanese names. We use English. So, and we're not, you know, like there, you know, like you don't have to speak Japanese and say hi and yes or us or anything like that. Like as part of it, it's a little more kind of in between. So I think there's benefits to it. I think what I like about the traditional side of things is the respect that's paid. And I do think that this is something that's very important in the combat arts. They have elements of this even in fencing, and fencing is just a sport where you at the beginning you do a salute to each other, a salute to the ref before you fence, and same as you finish your technique, your training, your bout or your match, you salute again. And like I think it's basically paying homage to the fact that we're doing something that is, you know, has potential dangers to it. Like we're fighting with each other, even if we're doing it in a controlled environment where we're all there to learn. You know, like we need to be very like aware of ourselves and each other, and you know, commit to the fact that we are training in a way that shows mutual respect for each other's safety and for each other's development. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
As opposed to a club, I mean, like I know in some kind of more, as you say, the more modern clubs, you know, they're like, you know what? Don't bow, don't do anything. You're here to learn how to fight and nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that kind of sometimes makes me a little nervous. Like, this is just a skill. You know, go ahead and this is what we're teaching to fight. Go out and use it as you want to use it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think it kind of, you're losing some of that mentality of we're here to help each other. We're not here to elevate ourselves above each other people to take, you know, to try and dominate other people for our own personal gain, you know, like I think I like to go walk into a place and know and trust that we're all there to train safely and with mutual respect. Now, it's not to say that you can't have that in a modern context. I just think that you have to cultivate it in different ways. That's all.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I think that's I think it'd be a great subject for a future show. Bob, did you have another comment about that? Or?
No, I think that was a great answer, and I think that's a good preface that we need a show like that that, you know, talks about traditional and non-traditional aspects, and Lori's right there in the middle.
Yeah, the middle ground. And that's where, like you know, my Kaji Kembo classes are, you know, Lori's classes are great. You know, I didn't get to see you teach jiu-jitsu while I was there, but it was obvious that your students did know the aspects of the tradition and the bowing and stuff, as well as the modern aspects of training. When I was up there, down there, up there. Where am I? down there is Bob. Up
is
there
it up? Is... Well, you're going, you came north.
Yeah, it's up for me, if I was going to visit you. But yeah, you know, and if possible, if we do have that that particular show, I'd love for you to be on it because you live it. You teach in that type of way, and if possible, if we could get you on the show for that would be great also.
That would be great. That would be awesome.
And for all the Super Bowl fans, I just heard the Ravens just beat the 49ers 34-31.
Oh. No, Niners. Oh, see, I don't even watch football, but you know,
don't they always win? They're the ones that always win. The 49ers?
Yeah, I haven't been following the 49ers. I was just following the Seahawks, and then when they came out of the running, I was like, ah, well then, oh hey, look, it's the 49ers now. Oh well.
Well, there was a year when Montana was playing where they were like winning every year. You know,
yeah.
They won for like 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And of course, my son's standing here, and I do want to put a shout out that he is turning 18 tomorrow. See who wants to do a happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Brandon! Woohoo!
Happy birthday!
He's opening my umbrella to see if there's a sword in it.
Bob, you need to post that on the Dynamic Dojo page.
I do. You know, I tried to text it to you today, but it wouldn't go through.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
That bites. Well, I saw it on your profile, but maybe, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But that's so cool. There's got to be a sword in there.
did you study any weapons arts, or was it mostly empty hand?
Well, other than fencing, I have done a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't say, I mean, I did it for a few months. I did some Filipino martial arts, so it's mostly
cool.
The stick. And I have done some bow training as well. Not in any real depth, but I have done some training, yes.
Very cool.
Oh, very cool. Now, what did you bring, what style did you bring Sifu up to do a seminar on?
She was doing throwing weapons, and well, as throwing knives, as well as throwing just any kind of household implements, throwing chopsticks. And what else did we throw? Scissors,
we were
knives.
Throwing scissors, and somebody brought an ulu.
We brought an ulu.
Yeah, somebody brought an ulu.
You managed to chuck the ulu into some targets.
Yeah, you had to hold it really weird, but we chucked the ulu. Somebody brought nails. Somebody brought forks.
Oh, that's right.
All sorts of crazy, cool stuff. An axe, somebody brought an axe.
That didn't work out very well. I don't think it was weighted for throwing.
Yeah, I don't think it was weighted for throwing. I think it was weighted for cutting wood, but not for throwing. But, yeah,
you know,
that was fun.
You know, that's funny. Steve Boomer has always invited me up. I've got a place to stay. I don't know if I want to anymore because, from what I understand, her mother uses shoes like a boomerang.
What?
That's my sister. My sister.
Oh, your sister.
My
great.
Sister can throw a shoe. I mean, I'm going to have to tell that story some other time. But long story short, my sister stopped a shoplifter at the store that she was working at. She was on her way out. Her shift was done. I was waiting outside to pick her up, waiting right out the door. And this guy comes running out, bumps right into her, knocks her to the ground. And so she's like screaming like obscenities and epithets. She pulls off her shoe and hucks it, knocks the guy in the back of the head. He falls down and the box boys come out and they tackle him to the floor. And she's all limping over there trying to get her shoe. And I'm in the car going, what the hell just happened?
That is insane. Weapon of opportunity, right there.
Yeah, it was.
This is where Sifu Rusty's ADD kicks in. She just said, "This is a story for another time," and she went right into it.
And I went right into it. Well, there's more. There's more.
I bet there is.
That was the short version. But No, my mom. You'll
have to tell me more about this.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you more about that. My mom, on the other hand, Bob, she's good with a tennis racket.
But as in, she actually defended herself with a tennis racket?
No, she's really quick at being, when I was a kid, she was really quick at being able to get that tennis racket out of the closet and hit us before we would know what was going on. And,
violence
you
is
know,
wrong.
Yeah, I know, it is. But at that time, we deserved it.
Oh, did you know?
Yes, we did. We weren't too, yeah, we could be, you know, not so nice kids. You know, and but mom was great with the tennis racket, and
dad was good with the belt.
Yeah, dad was, yeah, like magic, whoop, boosh, you know, and it'd be out, and it'd be back on his belt, and lickety split. So rest his soul. Well, anyway, we went off topic there.
We did go off topic. So Sensei, are you looking to get deeper into the stunt work?
Well, whatever I can manage. I mean, the thing is right now the industry is a little kind of weak because a lot of the tax credits that are being offered in Ontario are not being matched here in BC. It's actually really big in the news right now because we're hemorrhaging. All the production companies are moving out east to follow the tax credits, and we're losing the industry. So we're doing our best to lobby and try to make some changes that are going to keep the industry here. But I'll take what I can get, and I would love to develop it more, and I do train for it. But I'm just hoping that the lobbying we're doing with Christy, our premier Christy Clark, is going to make some headway.
Now, how does that work with the tax credits for us United States people that that are quite familiar with how that works up there? I'm not quite sure if that's the same way it works down here either.
Well, basically, when the American companies are coming up here to to film in BC or wherever in Canada, to incentivize it, you know, for them to come here, and especially with our strong dollar, which it's a lot stronger than it used to be. They offer some credit so that like they don't have to pay as much taxes on the stuff that they are doing up here, so that it becomes more affordable. So, but I guess Ontario and Quebec, they decided they wanted to kind of snake some more industry out there, so they offered them tax credits that are not sustainable, but enough to get give them the incentive to move out there. And now once they're there. You know, like once they're there, why would they want to move back, right? It's much more hassle to move back to Vancouver, so that's why it's a bit of an issue right now.
Yeah, I think that's why one of the issues why Seattle's industry is next to nothing is because it's very expensive. It's ridiculous down here, and nobody wants to come up to Seattle. I mean, sure, you know, let's set a movie or a series in Seattle, but let's just not film there because. You can't. It's
too expensive.
It's too expensive, and it's just not worth the hassle of trying to, you know, find that kind of money for a particular movie or what have you, especially for the independents. But the independents, are doing pretty well down here. It's just that, you know, if we want like bigger productions, that's not going to happen. But pretty
well,
cool.
I think like in Burbank, I think they're taking, and now a lot of filming doesn't happen in Burbank because we are so expensive between permits, and they have to hire police officers, like two or three. I think they're just taking advantage of the fact that we are the entertainment capital of the world, so they're going to jack up the prices so that the production companies don't have to travel as far.
Right. Right. Man. Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time. We've only got about 4 minutes. So for our listeners that might be happening to come up to British Columbia, if they want to come visit your dojo, how can we get a hold of you?
You can go to my website at pacificwavejj.com and all the information there. Or if you wanted to find more information about my book, you can go to groundoffensebook.com. And it's got all the information about the book and some video and all that stuff. So any of those two places, and you'll find me.
Very cool. Very
cool. And you're on Facebook from what I saw.
What's that?
And you're on Facebook?
Oh, yes, yeah, I'm on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page for my dojo, so Pacific Wave JJ on Facebook. You'll find our school there as well.
Very cool. So, yeah, listeners, if you, if you're from this side of the border and you want to go up there, Richmond's not far from the border at all.
We have visitors that come by and, you know, just to come by, say hi, train with us for a class, maybe go for a bite to eat at the local pub afterwards.
Yeah. Because, like, it only takes, like, from Seattle, it only takes, like, maybe 2 hours to get up there, well, depending on the border.
Go in rush hour, remember?
Yeah, I know, right? It took me, like, 5 hours to get there.
She kept posting it on Facebook how bad it was. When she's going up there.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. And I could because I'd be sitting still. So I could text.
Well, and I do understand, since that you did roll out the red carpet, signs when she got there, the whole thing. So it was really cool.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We were so happy to do it. In fact, we want to do it again. I want to get her up here for a bullwhip seminar in the summer sometime. I think that would be so awesome.
I'd be tickled pink to come up there and do bullwhip with you guys. I think it would be great. Yeah. And Bob, awesome. If you ever come up to Seattle, you know, for like a week or so, maybe we can like drive up and see Sensei Laurie. I think it'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be a blast.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
That'd be cool.
Wow, I don't know why my voice just went up. How would you say it, Sensei? I just got kicked in the nuts.
Oh, the monkey stole your peach. Was it plucked your peach? I forget what the wording was.
Steals the peach.
Is it pluck? Steal. The monkey stole your peach.
Yeah, that sounds like another word. They can take that completely off context.
Oh, I cannot wait to use that in my classes. The monkey steals the
peach.
The Chinese came up with some awesome terms.
They do. Snake creeps down, bro. I'm going to land you on your head. Twin bees buzzing in the ears for a full Nelson that breaks your neck. It's like, it's awesome. But
twin bees buzzing in your ears? Is that really what they say?
Yeah, that's, it looks like you're punching toward the ears, but one of the applications is you're behind them and you have them in a full Nelson. Mm-hmm. And then you turn them and then you sweep out one of their legs so that way when they fall, they snap their neck.
Oh, lovely.
I know. Tai Chi, the nonviolent art. So, with that in mind...
That's a Tai Chi move?
Tai Chi move. Well, with that in mind, everybody, we are running out of time. So, I want to thank Sensei Laurie for joining us today. And I have to apologize for the technical difficulties that we had. And I want to apologize to the listeners, too, who had to deal with me and Robert going, no, it's not working.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. It was really great chatting with
great
you both.
You
it was
great.
Really great chatting with you. Yeah, unbelievable. Very fun. And again, if we do the subject where we talk about the importance of traditional etiquette, not, we'd like to see about having you back on.
That would be awesome. I'd love to do it.
That would be great. Awesome. All right.
We also talked about a show, Sensei, where we're going to grab a bunch of stunt women and bring them on and talk about the industry.
That would be cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, listeners, join us next week as we have Sensei Janet Oliger and Sensei Edie Goodman that will join us for the subject of teaching kids martial arts. So if you're a kids instructor or if you're thinking of adding a kids program, your current dojo curriculum, listen in, call in, ask questions. It's going to be a really informative show. So thanks, Bob. Thank you, Sensei Laurie. Thank you, listeners. And we'll see everyone next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks.